Praise be Jesus and Mary. There are basically two reasons to avoid sin. The one, more perfect, is for the love of God. Okay, we avoid sin because we love God. And the other reason, which is less perfect, is out of fear of punishment. Okay, we avoid sin because we don't want to be punished by God. And because this paralytic in the gospel has not yet reached spiritual perfection, our Lord threatens punishment. The gospel says, after this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin any more, so that nothing worse may happen to you." So here we learn, in the first place, that the disease of this paralytic was the consequence of his sins. Thus, the paralytic, who had been sick for 38 years, had committed some crime, which God wished him to suffer for and expiate by this protracted disease. Okay, the punishment that God inflicts for sin is either temporal in this world or in purgatory, or eternal in hell. We also see that this punishment for sin, one of the ones mentioned in Scripture, is for receiving the Holy Eucharist sacrilegiously, unworthily. Okay, the person who goes to receive Holy Communion, knowing that they are not in a state of grace, aware that they have serious mortal sin on their soul. St. Paul talks about this in his first letter to the Corinthians. He says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself," examination of conscience, "and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." Okay, we see there, for sacrilegious communion, many are weak and ill, and some have died. We continue reading the scripture commentary on this passage of the gospel now. Why bodily disease? Okay, if sin is really a matter of the soul, of the will, why a punishment of the body? Because we are apt to bear with great indifference the diseases of our souls. Right? Vice and sin are the diseases of our souls. And there are people who live from day to day who couldn't care less that they have vice and sin in their souls. Why? Because it doesn't hurt. If there's a healthy conscience, it should hurt the conscience, so to speak. Okay? A remorseful conscience, that prick of conscience. Okay? That is a healthy sign in the soul if sin is present. Okay? For that reason, someone may be moved to repentance, hopefully. But should the body suffer ever so little hurt or injury, we have immediate recourse to the most energetic remedies. For this reason, God punishes the body for the offenses of the soul. Secondly, we learn that there really is a hell. Thirdly, that it is a place of lasting and infinite punishment. Some say, indeed, because we have corrupted ourselves for a short time, shall we be tormented eternally? But see how long this man was tormented for his sins, 38 years lying there next to the pool. Sin is not to be measured by length of time, but by the nature of sin itself. Men are astonished that God, for so short a pleasure as is found in the perpetration of sin, should have decreed an everlasting punishment in the fire of hell. For they say, shall I be punished forever for having indulged a sinful thought for a single moment? But their astonishment will cease when they consider that punishments are not inflicted on sins in proportion to the length of time that was spent in their perpetration, but that they are proportioned to the malice of the will. Now the malice of sin is infinite, because it is aimed against the infinite majesty and infinite sanctity of God. And so the punishment, to be in any ways commensurate, must be infinite. If, therefore, the sinner dies charged with the infinite debt of mortal sin unrepented, as the time of mercy and repentance finishes with this present life, the sin must necessarily remain, and God's hatred for sin must necessarily remain, and the punishment justly inflicted must necessarily continue. And besides this, we learn that if, after undergoing a heavy punishment for our sins, we fall into them again, we shall incur another and a heavier punishment still, and justly. For one who has undergone punishment and has not been made better by it proves himself to be a hardened person and a despiser, and as such deserving of still greater torments, either in this life or in the life to come or in both. A relapse is worse than the original disease. So a relapse into a fault is worse than the fault on account of the greater ingratitude, boldness, and impudence. Okay, here we have an example of what is called the recidivist. Okay, those who fall again and again into those same sins. We're talking especially mortal sins. Okay. Nor let it embolden us that we do not see all punished for their offenses here in this life. Right? Some of us see that those who are evidently living in sin seem to be living quite happy lives. Okay, we shouldn't then say to ourselves, well, everyone is doing it. Right? We've probably heard that one before. Everyone is doing it. For if men do not suffer for their offenses here in this world, it is only a sign that their punishment will be the greater hereafter. And again, we have confirmation in sacred scripture. 2 Maccabees chapter 6 says this. Now I urge those who read this book not to be depressed by such calamities. Okay, he's talking about the calamities that befall the people of God. Do not become depressed by such calamities, but to recognize that these punishments were designed not to destroy, but to discipline our people. In fact, not to let the impious alone for long, but to punish them immediately is a sign of great kindness. Right? The scripture says that God chastises those whom he loves. But what about those who he, quote, doesn't love? That is, who he has abandoned, practically speaking, to their sins. For in the case of the other nations, the Lord waits patiently to punish them until they have reached the full measure of their sins. So by not punishing him, that is in fact a greater punishment. That's what the saints tell us, Saint Alphonsus. The greatest punishment that God can give a sinner in this life is not to punish them. Because by means of the punishment, which is meant as a correction, they may convert. But by never sending them any suffering, they will never convert. And they will go along that wide and easy path that leads to perdition. But he does not deal in this way with us, in order that he may not take vengeance on us afterward when our sins have reached their height. Therefore, he never withdraws his mercy from us. Though he disciplines us with calamities, he does not forsake his own people. Let what we have said serve as a reminder. That's 2 Maccabees chapter 6. Therefore, when sickness is sent by God upon anyone, let him examine his conscience and blot out by repentance and confession the sin for which God has sent the sickness, and let him pray to God to pardon his sin and take away the disease. All right, now what if we examine our conscience and we aren't aware of anything? Now God sometimes sends disease upon holy men that he may prove them, that he may increase and crown their patience, as he did in the case of holy Job, whose whole dispute with his friends turned upon this point. Job's friends urging that his sins had given occasion to his being so grievously afflicted, while he, on the contrary, contended that he was free from sins and had not deserved those afflictions. And God, in the last chapter of the book of Job, adjudges the dispute in Job's favor and condemns his friends. The same thing will appear in the case of the man who was born blind in chapter 9, which we read 2 days ago in Sunday's gospel, when our Lord said, "Neither did this man sin, nor his parents, that he was born blind, but he was born blind for the glory of God." So our Lord says in today's gospel, "You are well, do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse may happen to you." And these words are applicable to every penitent sinner when he returns from the confessional. When we leave the confession and receive absolution, we should have the firm resolve never to fall again into sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.